Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. The Flatline, always about motivation, inspiration, education. And you know it's never with manipulation. We do not manipulate anyone. We don't have hidden agendas here. We are not trying to sell you something. We are not trying to get you to join anything. The only thing we're offering you is correct information. Not human speculation, but correct information from the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, that's right. It's a religious show, but not a call-in. It's not a dialogue. This is a monologue. It's me speaking with you. And if you will listen, if you'll hang in there with me, I trust that this show will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you would like to orient and adjust to that plan, you always have the freedom and the privacy to do exactly that. But the Flatline is about building a protective wall inside of your soul, a wall known as a forward line of troops. And that wall is built on 10 unique problem-solving devices. Once you learn those 10 unique problem-solving devices and deploy them in your soul, then they can stop the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. Remember that adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. Adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress, well, now that's what you do to yourself. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, if in fact you are, there is a unique way to live in your life so that you do not have to succumb to fear. You don't have to have stress. There is a way to live. It's called the most unique life in the history of the world. It is the Christian life with wonderful, invisible assets that were provided for you in eternity past by God. When you learn what these assets are and take advantage of them, then you can have peace in the middle of some of the greatest storms. Speaking of storms, it's a very stormy day here around my office. We've had a lot of tornadoes. We've had a lot of bad weather. And more is predicted for this evening. When my mother was alive, she used to freak out at the sound of, there may be a tornado. Freak out to the extent that she would want to hide under the bed. Tornadoes scared her tremendously. And maybe they do you as well. It is a frightening thing to see the destructive force of nature and what they can do. And we have witnessed that in our nation just in the last week or two as horrific tornadoes roared across the Central Plains and destroyed homes and took lives all across Arkansas and Missouri into Tennessee and Alabama. But I want to talk to you about how to live your life in such a way that you don't lose sight of the protective force that surrounds you. Let's go to the Bible. We like to verify and identify these things with Scripture, so I'm going to go to Matthew, Matthew chapter 8. I want to read you a story, a true story, a report out of Matthew 8 about the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Matthew 8:18 says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave the mandate to depart unto the other side." That's the other side of the Sea of Galilee. "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but where the Son of Man goes, I don't have any place to lay my head." And you think that might be a rude answer from the Lord when someone said he would follow him. But actually, that's not what that person said. If you look at that in the original language of the New Testament in the Greek, you will see the verb has a subjunctive mood to it. And that's potential, meaning if you go, I will follow you. And the intent was he did not think that Jesus would leave a crowd. And so the Lord said, look, if you need someplace comfortable, don't worry about going with me because I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a roof. I don't have a nest. And of course, we don't have a tour bus either. Another one of his disciples in verse 21 of Matthew 8 said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. Actually, there are seven types of death taught in the Bible, but two of them are physical death and spiritual death. And what our Lord is saying is, let the spiritually dead bury the spiritually dead. There's nothing worse than having to do a funeral for a person that is an unbeliever, a person who has not trusted in Christ, and then you've been called upon to do this funeral. And so you have to say something nice, and you don't want to say this poor person died and has slipped into hell. You don't want to say that. And so what I would try to do most of the times when I'm invited to speak at a funeral of someone that I know is not a Christian, then I would try to say, if they were here today, let me tell you what they would want you to know. It's not my job to judge them. It's not my job to say where they went. That's between them and God. But it's my job to give the truth. And so the Lord says, look, you can let those that are spiritually dead bury the spiritually dead. You need to follow me. He was spiritually alive. He did call him Lord, remember? Lord. There is one other disciple mentioned in Luke, but we won't go there now. But what I want, what I want you to see as they entered a boat in verse 23. When he entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. This could have been one of the boats of one of the disciples. You know, they were gill netters. Peter and James and John had a gill netting business. Maybe it was one of their boats. I don't know, but the Lord promptly lay up front, maybe on the nets, and fell off to sleep, while they cast off, headed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to a small town, and off they went. And in the middle of this, as they were going across, they were going to Gadara, as they went across, a great storm came. And verse 25 says, the disciples came to him and woke him up. And they said, Lord, save us, deliver us, actually. We are dying. And he said unto them, why are you afraid? Do you not have any faith, O ye of little faith? He actually called them some sort of short-time trusters. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? What an amazing thing. Here is, number one, our Lord in a small boat with no bilge pump, with no outboard motor, just strictly under sail or rowing, and a tremendous storm comes up, much like the straight-line winds we had at my house this morning, straight-line winds over 80 miles an hour. Can you imagine having straight-line winds of 50 to 80 miles an hour and being in a boat at the same time on the Sea of Galilee? And you can imagine the waves crashing over the boat and people frantically trying to bail the water out with their hands because there were no bilge pumps hooked up to batteries to pump the water out. And they woke the Lord up saying, we're dying. Save us. Deliver us. And he rebuked them. He rebuked them and called them short-time trusters. The problem is they were focusing on self. So let's talk about this just for a minute. As a believer in Jesus Christ, it's very normal for us to fear certain things. We're humans. We fear a lot of different things. More than anything, we fear death. The fear of death is something that Satan uses to manipulate all sorts of people, according to the Bible in Hebrews. He has used the fear of death to manipulate maybe even you. So when fear enters into your life, it's obvious that the focus is no longer on the objective, but now the focus is on self. And so as they looked at the storm, they said, we are going to die. I would say the focus was on self. Fear causes the focus to be on self. But faith, on the other side of the coin, causes the focus to be on God and removes the fear. Fear is fueled by emotion, and faith is fueled by fact. So if you have faith, that means that you have the facts. And those facts come from the Bible, from the Word of God. And when you have the facts, then you must make a decision. Will you react to the circumstances with fear, or will you respond to the circumstances with faith? The arrogant person always reacts with fear because he focuses on self. He has a lack of faith, and he's looking at the problem, not at the solution. So here's some things we need to learn. First of all, problem-solving device number 3 is called the Faith Rest Drill. If you don't have the problem-solving book, I hope you'll write to me and let me send you one free of charge. There are never a charge for anything from this ministry, ever. And you can contact me by going to the internet and simply typing in rickhughesministries.org. That's rickhughesministries.org. And from there, you can order the book, Christian Problem Solving. Or you can contact us by mail simply by writing to Rick Hughes Ministries, P.O. Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell. Our zip code is 35054. 35054. The book on Christian problem solving lays out all of the 10 unique problem-solving devices. This doctrine that was taught by my pastor many years ago before he was promoted to be face-to-face with the Lord. And with his blessings, I continue to teach this doctrine today. This is something he taught me, and this is something that I, hopefully, am teaching you. How to use the Faith Rest Drill in the middle of adverse circumstances. You know, faith is an amazing thing. And we're told to pick up the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6. And so when you're using the Faith Rest Drill, that is problem solving device number three of the 10 unique problem solving devices. But in order for this thing to work, in order for the Faith Rest Drill to work, there is a prerequisite. And that is that you must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you're out of fellowship with God with unconfessed sin in your life, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to empower you. He can't assist you. I know that because the Bible tells me that sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. So if you're asking God to provide strength for you to endure some fear factor, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then it can't work because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the strength. The Holy Spirit gives you that strength by recalling the doctrine in your soul, not by making you some supernatural Christian, but by illuminating and recalling the doctrine that's in your soul so that you focus on the facts and not let your emotions take control of you. The facts in this boat were that the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep. He was asleep in the bow of the boat. And these people were freaking out looking at the storm and not looking at the Savior. Is it true with you as well that you look at the storms in life and not at the Savior? Do you focus on the problem and not on the solution? Because that's exactly what they were doing. Those waves were breaking over the bow of the boat, and those men in the boat were frantically trying to push the water out, and they realized that sooner or later this boat was going to fill up and capsize, and they would all drown. They probably didn't even have PFDs. You don't know what a PFD is, do you? It's called a personal flotation device. It's required by law. And the personal flotation device can save your life. They didn't have that. They might have grabbed a piece of wood or something to try to float on, but if you're unconscious, that doesn't work. PFD will save your life. Use it. And so here they are, focusing on the storm, letting their emotions take control, fear swelling up in their life to where they thought they were going to die. And yet the safest place in the world to be was in that boat with Jesus, the anointed Son of God. Jesus was never designed to die in a boat wreck. He wasn't going to drown at sea. He had the destiny to meet with the cross. It was on the cross that he paid for our sins. It was on the cross that the justice of God was satisfied. And this was all prophesied many, many, many hundreds of years before he was even born. And so as these men focused on the storm and not on the facts, their fear welled up by emotional revolt, and they became afraid. And this is why the Lord rebuked them. And this is why you don't have to live this way. You do not have to focus on yourself. If you focus on yourself, you will always get discouraged. If you focus on yourself, you will always get discouraged. There's no telling what you can find in your life that you're not happy about. You know, most of our adversity, and let's make this really clear, most of our adversity is self-induced. We mismanage our health. We mismanage our finances. We mismanage our personal relationships. And all of this adversity, when it comes into our life, is in fact self-induced. These are choices. These are decisions that we made that created or that caused these things to come crashing in on us. And I believe that most of our adversity is self-induced. Now, you may have a weather-related adversity that you didn't cause. Maybe your home is blown away in a tornado. Maybe trees are blown down in your yard. Maybe your home is flooded in a storm. I mean, maybe an earthquake hits and something happens like it did in Japan a few months ago. There are geographical adversities and weather-related adversities that you, in fact, don't cause. But the solution is still the same. In eternity past, God the Father knew about this. In eternity past, he provided a plan for this. And if you are alive, if you're still kicking around once the dust settles, God has a plan for your life. And if you will focus on the facts and not focus on your emotions, not let your emotions take over and produce fear, then you can be of service to God. And then you can have that phenomenal peace in the middle of the storm. The faith rest drill, it's absolutely a phenomenal way to live. It takes advantage over circumstances and over people. A lot of our adversity comes from circumstances and people. And the faith rest drill gives us that advantage. Because what we focus on are the facts. Once we focus on the facts of God's word, then we have the shield of faith. Listen to Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now there's a promise. And let's say that if you are a child of God, is he going to let you starve to death? No. Is he going to let this or that happen to you? No. He said he would supply your needs. Your needs, not your wants, your needs. And that's the amazing thing about this verse. There are a lot of us, myself included, we have wants, but they are not needs. And you, like me, can say that God has many, many, many times graciously given us our wants that were not, in fact, needs. But now we're talking about the need to survive, the need to live. Do not have to be afraid. He will supply your needs. And if he doesn't, if he calls you home, then I cannot imagine what it would have been like had you tried to stay here. Once God said, no, your time is up, let's go. I'm promoting you to be face to face with me. You know, discouraged people always focus on their self. They focus on their surroundings. You ever been around someone like that? I was speaking with a friend the other day, and they said they went to an event, and they saw someone they hadn't seen in 20 or 30 years. And they sat side by side together at this event. And my friend said the first thing that person did was they launched into some long spiel about all the trouble they've had in their life. And my friend sat there and listened to medical problems, financial problems, social problems, and the whole conversation was all about that person's problems. That's someone that's focused on self. When you focus on yourself, you're going to look for somebody to tell your problems to. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is the worst thing you could ever do. If you have some problems, the wonderful thing about God is the Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. And so you don't have to go looking for someone to get sympathy for your problems. All you have to do is go to the Supreme Court of Heaven. It's open 24 hours a day. And to lay your burden at the feet of the Lord and walk away from it. Because if you pick it up and if you carry it and if you go across the street and tell Joe Blow about what happened to you, or you go down the street and tell Sally about what happened to you, then this is just going to increase because you're just having a pity party. You're wanting attention brought to yourself. You're focusing on yourself. And the storms of life will spit you out, chew you up, run over you. They'll destroy you because you don't use faith. You have never learned to focus on the facts and not let the fear control you. It's an amazing way to live, looking at the solution, not looking at the problem, using the faith rest drill. The faith rest drill requires a few things from you, by the way. I said it requires that you be in fellowship with God. That's the number one deal. Now, how can I be sure that I'm in fellowship with God? Well, problem-solving device number one tells me that. It's called the rebound technique. And the verse of Scripture is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And this is what it says. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So the first question is, what separates me from fellowship with God? The answer is sin. Sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit. So if I go to my Heavenly Father and I admit my sin, then God cleanses me from my sin and restores my spiritual life. The filling of the Holy Spirit is reinstated, and I am able to take advantage of my invisible spiritual assets. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, you mean to tell me that all I got to do is go to God and tell Him that I did that and He'll forgive me? I'm just reading the Scriptures to you. If you want to argue with God about it and you want to make it up to God, you want to promise God you will never do it again, you want to promise God something that you can't keep, all I'm telling you is what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Go to God, admit your sin. This will reinstate the control of the Holy Spirit. This will resume your spiritual life, and then you can use the shield of faith. There are three steps to using the shield of faith. The first one is you have to claim a known promise from God. Do you know one? I mean, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Do you know one? Can you put your finger on a promise from God? Why would I say that you have to do that? Because this will stop you from being afraid. This will stop the panic from creeping over you and seizing your emotions and putting you into an emotional tailspin of fear. Claim a promise. Go to the Bible. I just read a promise to you earlier, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply your needs. There's a promise. So when you're facing adversity, claim that promise. Now, secondly, once you claim the promise, you can stabilize your thinking. You get out of that fear mode. And then you re-examine the Bible. You go back. You see what you have learned. You go back and you begin to look at different rationales from the Word of God. For example, the essence of God. God is sovereign. God is just. God is righteous. God is love. God is eternal life. God is immutable. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's veracity. So when you begin to look at the character of God, When you examine his essence, in his sovereignty, could he have stopped this? Yes. In his omniscience, did he know about it? Yes. In his omnipotence, could he make it go away right now? Yes. Would he lie to you? Well, veracity says no. God is not a liar. So as you begin to go back and look at the essence of God, reverse your concentration, then you can come to a biblical conclusion as to why this happened to you. And then you form an answer. You come to the conclusion, if God is for you, who could defeat you? Who could harm you? Who could make you unhappy? No matter who your adversity is, if he's provided everything you need, then you can handle it. And if you come to the conclusion that he's actually putting discipline into your life to correct your course and keep you from self-destructing, then you can confess that sin to God as well. And you can orient and adjust to the plan of God before the plan of God has to adjust to you. If you fail to use the shield of faith, you're going to fall victim to your sin nature. You're going to begin to worry. You're going to begin to be afraid. And you're going to be tempted to bail out on God. You're going to be tempted to run over and ask somebody else what you should do about it. You're going to be tempted to run off at the mouth and tell people the raw deal you got and how these people wronged you. And you're going to be tempted to look for someone that will give you sympathy instead of putting it in God's hands. Walking away from it. That's an amazing thing. When a person can do that, when you have been wronged, you've been cheated or lied to or misled, and you can put it in God's hands and walk away from it, what a wonderful way to live. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to have revenge motivation. You don't have to get into this get-even scheme. You don't have to live like that. There is a better way to live. It is the faith rest drill. And it is what these men on this boat should have done. You know, after the Lord rebuked them and resolved the problem, he made the storm go away. That's how he resolved the problem. The men marveled. The Bible says they didn't know what manner of man this is, that even the winds and the seas obey him. If the Lord Jesus Christ can calm a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and deliver these disciples, could he not calm your storm and deliver you as well? He will, if you'll trust him. If you will use the faith rest drill, stay filled with the Spirit, put your eyes on the facts, and don't let fear take control. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.